This is Arrivals. Stories of migration, transformation, and change. The program that explores what we do when what we've done is a thing of the past. And today we bring you a story that we're calling Orthodox.
I am Josh Trainin. I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I go to school at Yale University. I'm an undergraduate student. I have two moms, and they were never married, but they split up when I was in kindergarten. My parents were always involved in Jewish communities. So yeah, I mean, I definitely grew up in a really Jewish environment. In Columbus, there's only two Jewish day schools. So there's a kind of egalitarian, non-denominational school, and then there's the Orthodox day school. So I went to both. I ended up going to the Orthodox day school from fifth grade to when I graduated high school. It was really, really hard for a lot of reasons. The biggest one was that I wasn't Orthodox and all of my friends were. And then there was like the fact that my parents were lesbians, which was difficult. And I think it took me a couple years to really find my place at the school. I became Orthodox in middle school. The change was mostly in me theologically. It became really intense. I was really like a zealous person. I went from going in fifth grade to the least observant out of all my friends to probably by the time I graduated high school, one of the most observant out of all of my friends. And, you know, I think a lot about this now because I ask myself, why did I become Orthodox? I mean, I wanted to fit in. Like, I was tired of being different from my friends. I think, you know, when you're 10 years old and you go to a school and people aren't allowed to come play at your house because your parents are lesbians, it helps when you become Orthodox. So in many ways, becoming Orthodox was a way of, like, legitimizing myself. Ironically, at the same time that I became Orthodox was basically the same time that I started to realize that I was queer. I mean, I also don't ever remember being attracted to women. I always was close with women. I think that's because I grew up in a house full of women. I mean, when my parents split up, they each got new partners, and I have a sister, so basically my whole life has been surrounded by five women. I always kind of like prided myself on, I would say, you know, like when I meet women, like I don't look at their boobs or like their butts. Like I take them as people, like a true feminist, like a true son of lesbian separatist. But then I think as I started to enter middle school, I started to realize that as much as it's a good thing that I didn't value them off of their bodies, I also never thought of their bodies in a sexual way. And I think I started to realize that that was more than just my respect for women, but also the fact that I just wasn't attracted to women. And so I think that in many ways, as ironic as it seems and as contradictory as it seems, my queer identity and my religious identity, they reinforced one another. They gave meaning to each other. So I think that there was always a sense that they were dependent upon one another, that the more religious I became, the more I believed in God, that he would answer my prayers and that he would solve my issues, the more the queerness would go away. So in the Jewish Orthodox community, basically it's like the accepted norm that in the immediate year after high school, students will go, kids will go to Israel for a year and learn in religious seminaries. So the school I went to is called Yeshivat Har Etzion, in the Gush Etzion region of the West Bank. For short, people just call it Gush. It's located about halfway through Jerusalem and Hebron, the city Hebron. It's really close to Bethlehem. People really in the Orthodox world, everyone always says when you're in high school, well, post-Israel, you understand, or, right, like, it's seen as the defining moment in your life. Like, everything changes. Like, there's a pre- and post-Israel life. So, right, there's a really big sense that, like, you're on the cusp of something humongous, that you're about to enter into, like, some sort of area of, like, radical self-realization and, like, transformation. The first year is all about, you know, being independent for the first time in a new country. Even if you grew up in an Orthodox environment, you realize very quickly when you get to yeshiva how much you know, and that is nothing. You know absolutely nothing. And so you're just playing catch up the whole year, and like towards the end of the year is when the school pushes students to come back for a second year. So I left Israel towards the end of the year, only for a summer, just ready to come back in a couple months for 6 more months.
This is an ABC News special report.
Coming back to America was a culture shock. I realized just how much the world and identity I had created in Israel was a bubble. The Supreme Court struck down DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, that summer. I was at the office when I found out. I interned for Senator Sherrod Brown. We rigged the TV, and the old TV in the office, to work. And all the interns and staff were gathered around the television watching. It was a really big moment. I mean, we were watching history unfold. There was one of the other interns was gay and out, and one of the staff members of the office is gay and out. So when the decision was announced, it just was like mayhem in the office. I mean, everyone was celebrating. The staff member who's gay like ran to his office, and he was like, "I'm taking the day off. If anyone calls, tell them I'm getting married." He's now engaged. And it was just a really big moment. I mean, my parents texted me, and I remember not knowing how to feel, because this was the point of pressure. I was so confident in what I'd done in Israel and the identity I'd created there, and like the religious beliefs and how absolute it was. And I was becoming almost fundamental in so many ways. And so like this was really riding up against everything I believed in. It's not that I ever like believed people that were gay or were abomination, but I believed in the law system. And I think that that summer, all the problematics came back to haunt me in the form of DOMA being overturned, in the form of my parents, just who they were. And I think that for me, I just started feeling so anxious about it. I don't know when the transition happened from being anxious about my parents to being anxious about my own sexuality. I was just looking forward the whole summer to going back to Israel. That would be where I would fix things, where like I would rebuild the identity that I had kind of been pieced apart over the summer. My second year in Israel also put pressure on my sexuality, because in the second year is when you're supposed to maybe start thinking about dating. You know, a lot of my older friends in yeshiva started going on dates. The second year program in yeshiva has a dating class, a dating and marriage class, what to look for in a wife, what to look for in the family of a future wife. So I spent a lot of time in the library reading Jewish journals on law and philosophy. I was looking at articles mainly about homosexuality to see if they're... were kind of any more intellectual writings on reparative therapies or people that had gone from gay to straight. I didn't find that much, but like the things I found, I think I really held on to. I mean, when I found this one article about this psychologist that said that of course you can change, of course sexuality can change. I mean, that was just like, oh, so it's possible. I just have to pray more. I have to do more. But I think it fell apart really quickly. I mean, that was a last-ditch effort. I knew, deep down, even while I was doing that, that, like, this wasn't, you couldn't really change your sexuality. I mean, I had been praying for so many years. One of my really close friends in yeshiva was also seeing the psychologist and knew that I was going through things. So he recommended that I see the psychologist. I got back in August and I was seeing the psychologist within several weeks. The psychologist's name was Mordechai. I really hated where we met. We would meet in like empty classrooms right off the yeshiva corridor, which made me just so nervous because I couldn't even be out to myself. Definitely couldn't be out in yeshiva. I couldn't even say the word gay. So I was gonna tell him all these things in this classroom where anyone could hear and like if they were standing by the door or walk in. I mean, I just remember talking to him, and then there was a point in time where I just kept on saying, I don't know, over and over. Like, I just don't know. I mean, it wasn't like, I was crying. I don't know what this is, what I want. He's like, well, you know, it just doesn't have to be the end. You know, I remember saying to him, this isn't what I want. Like, what I wanted was the family, the wife, the life that I've been organizing my future around. Like, you can't be gay in the Orthodox world, not the one I came from, not the one that my parents tried to enter. You just cannot do it. You know, I was always told that if you do what God wants you to do, then he'll make it work for you. So why wasn't he coming through for me? And I was just so angry and I was so depressed because, you know, what happens when your sense of self is shattered? So I started just really spending my days in my room. I would sleep in and then I would cry a lot. I would read English novels. I bought a lot of books that year and just like read in my room, which was an important escape for me. And I was just really always depressed and upset. I mean, it got to points where I was somewhat semi-suicidal. I mean, it just kind of all coalesced in this moment for me. Like, just ask myself, you're the gay son of lesbian parents. What are you doing here? Why are you here? They don't want you here. And basically, once I stopped praying for God to kill me, it was really just like, how can I get through the next 2 years and live? That was really what it was about for me. I don't know how. I mean, I just made it through. I counted down the days. It was horrible. It was a horrible time. I wanted to leave so badly, but I also didn't want to leave because I knew where I was going wasn't going to be much better. Or at least I didn't think it would be. So, I mean, it was just kind of a sense of one bad is ending and a different type of bad is going to begin. So for college, what ended up happening was I get to Yeshiva University halfway through the year. Yeshiva University is a Jewish college in New York City. So I was there for a year and a half, and I started thinking about transferring almost immediately. You know, like, it's an Orthodox university, and I, over my course of a year and a half there, stopped becoming Orthodox. So I stopped doing Orthodox things. I wouldn't go to synagogue. I wouldn't wear a yarmulke on campus anymore. I wouldn't really identify as Orthodox, and I didn't feel like I had a place in the school. So my religious identity in yeshiva just collapsed completely. Someone I remember asked me if I wanted to go pray, and I said God and I had not been speaking for a little bit. And we're still on that terms. I mean, I don't know what to believe. I was so depressed there. It was a different sort of depression than Israel. I felt like I had a little bit more freedom, and I threw myself into my studies. I threw myself into my work because I knew very quickly that I wanted to leave, and the only way I was going to leave was if I did really well in school. I applied to schools that I would have never dreamed I could go to. Yale was my top choice. It's also the hardest school I got into for transfer students. They basically say on the website, don't apply, in nice words. I mean, I remember I was in the Upper West Side hanging out with this guy that I was, like, having a thing with, kind of. I didn't come out in my time at Yeshiva University, but I stopped giving a fuck, which are two different things. I came out to two of my friends and my sister. I was out to them. I started, like, seeing people, I would say, in February. So I was really kind of, like, on the threshold of the closet, I would say, maybe 2 feet out, like in my half, like leaning backwards with my torso in. And we were like sitting together, and then I was just like on my computer because we were working, and I just like got this email, but it wasn't like Yale admission. Like it was just from an actual person at Yale. And I opened it and it was like, congratulations, you've been accepted to Yale as like a transfer student. And I just like, I lost it. Like I started crying. I called my parents, and it was just, you know, it was like, I felt so good. It happened right before, like the day before my birthday. So it was a great 21st birthday present, but it was just this sense that there was a future, that I had made it, that like the end was in sight. I applied to the schools where I thought I was going to have the best chance to get a good education and become a writer and be the person I wanted to be, and where I could be all of me and not sacrifice parts of me. And that was a great feeling. Yale has been everything I wanted to be and everything I also didn't expect it to be. Part of the construction of the future I had created when I was in Yeshiva University and applying to leave was a construction that once I left, everything would be better and figured out. I immediately realized when I got to Yale that that's not true. Yes, it's true that I go to a school where I can meet guys and walk on the street holding hands with them and be socially accepted by all my peers. And yes, I can go to a school where I basically talk about queer stuff all the time and take writing classes. But that doesn't change the pain you feel, and that doesn't change all the things that you've been through, and that doesn't fix anything. When I was a senior in high school, I thought that right now I would be almost done with Yeshiva University, hopefully dating a woman that I would want to be married to. So kind of figuring that out. I think I was still pre-med then, so applying to medical school, living a really hetero life, and being the nice Orthodox Jewish guy that I had imagined I would become. And now, I'm a sophomore in Yale College. Identify as queer for political reasons, and I think that's where my political alliances lie. I am single. And I'm really happy with where I am. And so now I'm just figuring out where to go next.
Special thanks to Josh Trainin for sharing his story, and to Phoebe Petrovic, who co-produced this episode. Arrivals is produced and sound designed by me, Jonathan Hirsch, with help from Nora Lind. Our episode art comes to us from Steph Tan. Find out more about the show by visiting our website, ARRVLS.com. We are a proud and founding member of The Herd, an audio collective featuring 8 independent producers from across North America who have banded together to share resources and to promote one another's work. Find out more at theherdradio.com. That's the H-E-A-R-D radio.com. I'm Jonathan Hirsch. Thank you for listening. And until we meet again, may you wind up where you need to be.